It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the short grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
You know, it's now my second win on the PGA Tour, and first one was surreal, and this one's surreal. So, you know, it hasn't quite hit me yet. Walking up 18 was pretty emotional, and then finishing. But yeah, it's been a whirlwind of the last 5-6 weeks. It's been I'm just so blessed and humbled to be here.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. That was Wyndham Clark, the 123rd U.S. Open champion. It's only his second win on the PGA Tour. He won the Wells Fargo Championship last month and now is a major champion, holding on to a one-shot victory over Rory McIlroy. He shot even par in his final 18 holes at Los Angeles Country Club. Wyndham Clark is your U.S. Open champion. After firing rounds of 64, 67, 69, and 70 for a four-day total of 270, Rory McIlroy, as I mentioned, finished runner-up 65, 67, 69, 70 for a 271. That is the lowest score in the U.S. Open for a runner-up finisher, that 271 score. Ricky Fowler, who blitzed the field on Thursday along with Xander Schauffele, they both shot 62. Fowler followed up the 62 with a 68-70, but struggled on Sunday with a 5-over 75 to finish tied for fifth. Scottie Scheffler finished third after firing rounds of 67, 68, 68, and 70. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, I sit down with Arkansas State Golf Hall of Famer Petey King. He played golf at the University of Arkansas and now teaches the game of golf and has been doing that for quite some time. He loves the game. My interview with Petey King coming up. But first, I need to tell you about Blackman Auctions. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. You can find them on the web, blackmanauctions.com. We're back with more From the Short Grass after this. Stay with us.
With all the decisions you need to make about what to do in El Dorado, finding a place to stay is an easy one. The Haywood is uniquely positioned to make your stay one to treasure. Located in the historic Union Square District of El Dorado, the Haywood offers luxurious accommodations that feature contemporary, colorful rooms with high-quality bedding, comfortable baths with walk-in showers, and a spacious workspace with stylish plantation shutters that are unique additions to the stunning decor in a non-smoking environment. Make the Haywood your home away from home the next time you visit El Dorado.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
This is Thomas Blackman with Blackman Auctions. The economy is changing slowly but surely. The market is slowing down in a gradual slide. Not an emergency yet, the sky is not falling, but a change is coming. When times are good, auctions make buyers compete to buy at the highest market value. When the economy gets tough, auctions force buyers to make a purchase decision. Either way, auctions get the highest return for a seller and a strong deal for a buyer. With an experienced auction company, it's a simple process. Go to blackmanauctions.com for more information. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am Trey Schaap. Petey King, a legendary golfer in the amateur ranks in the state of Arkansas, once went toe-to-toe with his roommate, who was none other than John Daly. You're going to hear a lot about that story in this interview. So without further ado, on the tee, Petey King.
Petey, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. What are you up to these days?
Teaching golf at North Shore.
Yeah.
Do about 5 or 6 lessons Monday through Friday and get my feel of golf that way. So
you say you get your feel of golf. How does golf feel to Petey King?
Well, I enjoy teaching the people that I teach and kind of live vicariously through them. You know, them making pars or birdies or breaking 80 or breaking 90. That gives me enough.
When people come to you, what's one of the first things you like to find out about them as it pertains to golf?
Well, really what their expectations are. You know, you have some people that want to be scratch golfers. Some people want to break 80. Some people want to break 90. Some people just want to be able to hit it down the fairway, play in a corporate event, and have fun. So that's really what I ask them. Where do you want to go with this?
When did you first pick up a golf club? Do you remember?
My dad started me. I remember 4 or 5 banging around in the yard. And then probably 9 is when I remember actually getting out on the golf course and playing golf. Growing up in North Little Rock, Steve Ralston was great. I had a group of my friends where we'd go out and play for 25 cents with a community card. And be 4 or 5 of us, and he'd make sure we didn't do anything wrong. And then from there, the junior clinic down at Repsaman is really where I grew up and playing at the Duffers Club out at Camp Robinson.
Yeah. Your dad loves the game of golf.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is. He really loves all sports, but I think golf is something that he enjoys it. He loves competition. And I think probably that the game of golf challenged him more than anything.
He had some good friends as well, being who he was in the sports world here in Arkansas, that he got to play golf with notable guys like Jim Elder, Paul Eales.
Orville Henry,
Ron Robinson,
right.
Some of those guys. And you got to play with them too.
I did. And it was kind of funny because I didn't realize who they were. You know, they were my dad's friends, and I was always included, which they didn't have to do that. But, you know, I remember going up and waking up and going to Belvedere when it had the different color sand traps and playing out at Maumelle when there were no houses. And
that's a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. And I was young playing with those guys, 12, 13, 14, and they welcomed me in, and it was great. And, Mr. Elder was like my second dad. You know, if I was going to play in a tournament, he'd drop off some golf balls or something. So he lived right by us in North Little Rock, and I was just really fortunate to have those guys on my side.
Did you play for – I mean, I know that sometimes your dad would talk about how he'd play for, you know, 50 cents or a dollar or something. Did you get in those games too? Did you play?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was always a team bet.
Did you kick their butt?
Well, they were pretty good, actually. And I wasn't – you know – I would make some pars and some birdies, and I could hit it far, but it was just more fun for me. You know, growing up playing football and baseball and basketball, it was just kind of something I did with Dad on the weekend. He said, let's go play. Okay, let's go.
But that got you to Arkansas. I mean, you went to Arkansas on a golf scholarship.
I know, but, it was really kind of interesting. I was thinking about that the other day and the kids that are playing golf, and I really didn't start playing golf until I was 16. And when I got up to Fayetteville, of course, you had some really good players. John Sadie, Mike Ketchum, John Daly, all the guys that Coach Loy had brought with him, Mike Grob, Eric Hoos. You know, I had played golf in the summers, never really during the winter. And it became very apparent to me very quickly that I had to get better quickly. Or I wasn't going to be able to play. And that just was not acceptable in my mind. You know, John and I were roommates the first 2 years and had a great time and a lot of competition. And that's what really helped me. The older guys, Eric Hoos and I, were real close. Brian Wagner was up there. And, You know, there were a lot of failures during that time for me up there, but I just kept going.
Were those times tough?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah.
You know, kept you going?
I just didn't want to fail. It was just something that I always wanted to be a part of the University of Arkansas, you know, growing up and going to all the football games and working up in the press box and sending the telecopies when they used to do it over the wire. And it just was not acceptable if I wasn't, in my mind. And I was going to do everything I possibly could to be a part of that.
You were a roommate of John Daly.
Right.
That had to be something.
Oh, it was fun. I mean, you know, as most people, you know, college athletics is a little bit different than what most people think. It's not all glamorous. We had breakfast every morning at 7. We had curfew at night. The assistant coaches would make sure we're in class. We had Monday, Wednesday, and Friday schedules. We're at the golf course every day at 12 or 1. And Tuesday and Thursdays, I mean, we're playing golf every day. It's not really a glamorous life. And plus, we had Coach Loy, who was, he was tough.
Mm-hmm.
But he made us better. And I think one of the things that was tough for me is when he left. Obviously, John left. The whole dynamic of everything changed when he left.
You were up there for 5 years. What do you remember about your time in Fayetteville?
I really enjoyed it with Coach Loy. He made me understand what I needed to do to get better. He was very positive. He could be very tough. If you messed up, you were going to run.
Mm-hmm.
When I felt like I really did well in golf was because he challenged me, and he challenged everybody on the team. And it became very important that we had goals, individual goals, to make the team better. And, you know, I redshirted my freshman year, which was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I got to watch the guys and learn from them and try to improve my game. He gave me the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to jump in right then, I never would have made it. I needed a year.
Some would say you went in to the University of Arkansas with some lofty credentials, if you will. You won the 1985 ASGA match play. What do you remember about that tournament that year?
Not much, really. I'm old.
Do you remember what course it was played on?
1984. 85. 85, excuse me. Not really. I mean, I know there were – I don't remember much about it, to be honest.
Do you remember winning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember winning. I remember playing Barry Hamilton. Absolutely, yeah.
Do you remember anything about that? Like, maybe did he give you a putt or something?
No.
And you thought maybe he didn't concede?
One of the things that was interesting about that tournament was it was in Pine Bluff. It's coming back to me. I was playing Barry. I was 2 down, and my dad made a comment, said, look, you're doing fine. You're going to make the cup team. That was not the idea, to make the cup team. The idea was to win. And somehow I scratched a couple of holes, and then we got even, and we had to play number one. And I made about a 5-footer. And then I was fortunate enough on the second hole, the par 3, which is a pretty tough hole. I hit it on the green, and he missed it, and I 2-putted. So that was the first one.
What was it like having your dad on the bag?
Oh, it was great. It was we had many conversations about, you're not my dad. You're my caddy. And I said, you know, I'm going to get frustrated. And we had that understanding that it's mine. You're my caddy, and that's where we're going to go with it.
Well, he might have gotten frustrated too, don't you think?
Oh, he definitely would get frustrated with me.
What would he say?
Oh, he wouldn't say anything. He would say nothing. Because he knew that I was trying as hard as I could, probably too hard sometimes, and he really didn't say much. If I asked him, he would say something, but other than that, he didn't say much at all.
When you would get a yardage, did he help you with that, or did you just get it yourself and then decide to pick a club? What kind of conversations did you have with him? Was it normal or typical caddy player conversations?
Yeah, it was. But usually I didn't ask him. If it was something against the winner, what would you hit here? Because we were so much different in clubs.
How different?
2 or 3. I was really kind of doing it on my own, but I had his – I knew he was there if I needed something.
Right.
He would just say, yeah, that's what I think.
So if he would hit a six iron, you would say, okay, well, let me pull an eight or a nine?
That's about right.
And then on the greens, he would?
He would help a little if I ask him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he'd look at it, and if I ask, he would say, yeah, left center, left lip, looks good. Or I'd say, I got this.
After your win in 85, you and John Daly split 86 and 87, the two majors, the match play and the stroke play. And then in 1988, you won both of them. And it was the first time since 1971 that a player had won both the state AM and the match. Do you remember who?
Lewis Lee.
Stanley.
Stan, okay.
Yep. It's a Lee, brother.
Well, it was something that I really wanted to do. I knew that I thought it was Lewis, but Stan. And that was one of the goals that I had set for myself. And that all goes back to Fayetteville, was setting the goals that we had, that Loy would have us set goals.
Yeah.
And that started as my freshman year. And that was one of the goals that I had in the state of Arkansas, that I really wanted to do that because I knew it had been such a long time since it had been done.
When you beat John Daly, Texarkana Country Club, is there anything particular that stands out about that match play in 1987?
You know, the interesting thing about it is John and I, the 2 years we were roommates, were really close. You know, he called my dad and my mom. And that's really one of the hardest things to do is to play a friend.
Right.
It's really difficult because I knew he could beat me. He knew I could beat him. We played against each other forever up to university. And it was kind of funny. I remember the first hole. The first hole we played, I kind of hit it down the fairway, and he hit it down the fairway, and then he hit it over the back. I left it short, and I looked at him. I said, let's just pick it up. Good. He goes, okay, let's go to the second hole. I mean, it was just kind of that way.
Yeah.
One of us was going to win, and one of us was going to lose, and I happened to be lucky that day. So
he didn't win a hole against you that day.
Well,
I mean, yeah, okay, one of us is going to win, one of us is going to lose, but John did not win a hole against Petey King on that day.
I just had a good day. I mean, what do you say? I mean, it could have been the other way.
Number seven's a par five over the hill. He knocks it on in two and three putts for par.
Right.
To have the hole.
Right.
Maybe he wasn't putting good that day.
Yeah, he just, you know, like I said, it's hard to play your friends. It really is. It's not something you really want to do. And we were close. I mean, roommates 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, we had good times and bad times together.
When he won the 92 PGA Championship.
Right.
Got in because Nick Price is about to have a kid.
Right.
And uses Squeaky Medlin, who was Nick Price's caddy, who won the year before. What were your emotions like watching that?
I thought it was great. I mean, you know, your former roommate, you know, he's going to win the PGA.
Did you call him up after? What did you tell him?
You know, I did call him, left him a message, said, man, I'm proud of you. Way to go. Keep going, brother.
Did you ever have aspirations of the PGA Tour?
Yeah, you know, it just, there are so many people, guys I travel with when I got out of school, a guy named Zorn Zorkit played at Houston, great golfer. Mike Heinen played at University of Southern Louisiana. Chip Carter played at SMU. Us four traveled together playing the T.C. Jordan Tour because there mm-hmm. wasn't the Hogan Tour back then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so interesting. All of us went to the first stage of tour school. So I get through. Zorn gets through, Chip gets through. We're in Louisiana. Heinen gets second alternate. Okay. Well, if you're second alternate, go through tour school, you're not going to get to the second stage. Not going to happen.
Right.
He's from Louisiana. Second stage, we're in Texas. When we get there, Heinen shows up. We're like, what is going on? Well, all of us missed. Heinen should not even have been there. He goes through second stage, gets his tour card, wins on tour. And none of us made it. And, you know, you got to be playing well at the right time, have some luck, and that's really what it's about.
Isn't that something? I get it. I mean, there are days when I can go out and I can't break 80.
Yeah.
And then there are days you go out and it's like, man, Only two bogeys today, but I had seven birdies.
Yeah.
Man, what a round.
And the time of year that tour school is, if you're not playing well, you're not going to make it.
Right.
Because there are going to be other guys that can really play that are playing well.
Right.
And they're only taking a percentage of how many people are at the site. So
when did you decide that you wanted to teach?
Well, not to sound bad about it, but I was at the Hogan Tour event in Texarkana, qualified on a Monday, and I was a first alternate. So I sat on my golf bag and waited for everybody to tee off, didn't get in the tournament. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm done. So driving back, I knew I had to get a job. And that's when I decided, well, I'll get in the golf business. And really, I started at North Hills with Pete Cook. He gave me a job, and then I went to Maumelle Country Club. And I really got started teaching. I worked two jobs. I worked at Maumelle Country Club, and I taught the golf schools for John Hearns.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
the old Maumelle driving range.
That's exactly right. And that's how I got to really teaching. And, you know, if you're an assistant pro back then, you were making $12,000 a year.
Not much.
No, it was not a lot. It was very hard to live on. So teaching, you could make more money. And I enjoyed that more than I did sitting in a shop. So Jim Modell was really, really nice to me. And the other assistant said, look, let's do this. Let's go every other day, which gave us time to teach in between so we could earn more money. So that's what we did. And that's when I really started to enjoy teaching. And you know, was fortunate to teach a lot of the younger kids that went to college and played. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've been doing it for a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember a time, and this was the 4th of July Classic, War Memorial. I'm sitting out there. I think my dad had me out there, and I see the bag drop down. It's a Razorback golf bag, and it's got Petey King on the back of it, and you're on the 10th hole. And you drive the green, and I'm just like, holy cow, that is awesome.
That's what I want to be able to do. Too.
Yeah, yeah, persimmon.
Yeah.
I want to be able to do that someday. I mean, that's how it was with me watching you.
Well, thank you. And it, you know, I think we all, you know, when I was growing up, it was Lewis and Stan. You know, I'd go out when they were playing the Arkansas Open.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go watch them. Really Stan, because he was older.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we all have aspirations of wanting to be the guys that you see that are really, really good golfers. And if you have a desire, you know, I think about all the younger kids that I was lucky enough to teach, and now they're older. Mm-hmm. It makes me proud to know that they're good people. At number one, and hopefully I was able to help them and be nice to them. And, you know, when I was playing, it really doesn't enter your mind when you're playing. I mean, it you try to set a good example.
Well, I know you didn't throw the club down. You didn't cuss. I mean, so, well, you drove the green.
I have, yes, well.
But we've all probably done that at some point during a round.
Yes.
Best golf course Petey King has ever played.
You know, the best golf course I've ever played was probably Grandfather Mountain.
Where's it?
North Carolina. And it was probably the hardest golf course I've ever seen. They call it the Little Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. Great golf course.
They call Texarkana Country Club Little Augusta, too.
And I love that golf course, too. That's a great golf course.
Yeah.
But as far as the one that I had, you know, played four times and got on it and just said, my goodness, it was hard. It was a very, very difficult golf course.
You are a 2012 member of the Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you?
Well, I know my speech was probably the shortest in history. And the thing I would say about that is if I knew I was going to have to go and give a speech and be a part of that, probably never would have played golf. So, no, it's a great honor. It's kind of hard to think of yourself doing that. It's nothing that you don't plan on being in the Golf Hall of Fame in Arkansas. You're just playing golf. I mean, I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. It's a great honor. I'm very lucky, very fortunate.
You and three others, living and deceased, that you would like to play a round of golf with, a foursome, if you will. Who would it be?
Well, God, number one. My dad. How many?
Well, three others. I mean, it's a foursome.
Okay. Well, one more.
Unless you want to create a fivesome and go somewhere else that will allow it.
Probably Nicholas. Those three be fine.
Yeah. Any conversations you'd like to have with them?
Not really. Just play golf. Have fun.
Petey, thanks so much for the time.
You bet. Thank you.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. You all know by now I'm not a good golfer, but my son loves the game and he and I have been playing more. I've got my score down to, I've quit playing a scramble on every hole, I'm using the bunker rake much less than I used to, and a lot of the time I hit my drives past the women's tee box. All of my success in golf can directly be tied to me listening to From the Short Grass. Without it, I would not be the golfer I am today. Trey, you owe me $20 for that. Trey knows golf, I know auctions. Come see us at BlackmanAuctions.com. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am Trey Schaap. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, one of our great sponsors of From the Short Grass. Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you stay at a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel property. In fact, if you want a staycation and you live in Central Arkansas, don't forget the newly opened Holiday Inn right there by the Clinton Presidential Library. It's on the east side of Interstate 30 in downtown. Find them on the web, bphotels.com. As we wrap up this episode of From the Short Grass, we go back and hear from Ricky Fowler and Roy McIlroy after their U.S. Open finishes.
I just didn't have it today. Iron play was very below average and didn't make anything. So that's a big thing in majors, especially on a Sunday, making putts and kind of keeping it fairly stress-free. But it was kind of the opposite. I was kind of fighting through it all day. Felt like I drove it, you know, at least good enough to where, you know, iron play stays how it's been and make some putts. It's a little different situation, but after the last few years being in this position and, you know, kind of how I talked about how comfortable I felt this week, this is great. I mean, as much as it sucks to, you know, not be in the position I wanted to be after today, but we're just continuing to build and continuing to move forward. So, like I said, not the finish I wanted, but yeah, there's a lot of really good things to take from this week, and we're continuing to move forward.
Your golf course was playing, was playing really tricky, and obviously the scores in the final few groups reflected that. There's a couple of things that I probably would have done differently, but all in all, I played a solid round of golf. That one wedge shot on 14, missed birdie putt on 8. Really, apart from that, I did everything else the way I wanted to. But yeah, fine margins at this level and at this tournament especially. I fought to the very end. I obviously never give up, and I'm getting closer.
That will do it for this edition of From the Short Grass. My thanks to Petey King for sitting down with me. When you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Short Grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.